And welcome everybody on YouTube. This is Off the Hook Overtime. Did we all make it, Kyle?
I'm here.
On Overtime. And Rob?
We are here.
Keela?
Here.
And Alex? Oh, for God's sake, he took another field trip. What's with him? He can't stay on the microphone there.
He's always leaving.
You got another radio show you're doing, Alex?
Well, we can admire the artwork on his wall that's normally blocked by him.
Oh, he's got wood.
Why are you coming back with a bunch of lumber?
Somebody's got to keep you guys in line.
Is that firewood? Are you? Oh, this is that stove you were talking about, huh?
Yeah, I've got the wood-burning stove going, so
stay warm.
Well, it's going to translate real well on the radio. Interesting conversation, and it continues to be most intriguing. I mean, not to gloss over the seriousness of the situation with the hell people are going through. It's just so weird to see the very places that Kyle and I journeyed to, just on a whim. You know, we decided we want to see what Moldova's all about, and the poorest country in Europe. And we were intrigued by the whole place. It was just such a spirited place. And now it might be in the focal point in the weeks ahead.
Some of them. I mean, we've been to every last one of the places that has come up. We've been to a lot of these train stations.
Yeah.
We've ridden on these trains. We've been to a lot of these major cities.
I think Anderson Cooper's staying in the hotel room we stayed in Lviv.
No, he wasn't in that hotel room.
No? Okay.
But, places like Bratislava, I'm remembering my experiences there, seeing Western companies, seeing the kind of modern architecture and development and just really interesting stuff. Same with Romania, you know, they've got like, we went to like a megaplex. We went to some huge cinema and it was
built into
this giant mall. And
we did, and I was in Bucharest in Romania and we saw a film.
Well, of course we saw a film.
Yeah, okay. But we saw, the film we saw...
It's about Istanbul.
It had to do with the train.
Murder on the Orient Express.
The remake of Murder on the Orient Express. And I remember they were listing all the cities that it was going to stop in, and Bucharest was one of them. And here we are in a theater in Bucharest. They say Bucharest in the film, and of course, I do what I feel is the right thing and start applauding, and I'm the only one doing that. Apparently, that's not what you do in Romania when somebody mentions your city.
But the thought I kept coming back to this week was, what will it be like to go back to through Ukraine to a city like Kyiv? It's going to be really, really difficult for me and travelers who've had experiences there and met the people and explored, but that's nothing compared to what tragedy and what loss the entirety of the country is facing. And that, I think, just to me makes the experience exponentially more dire and the words fail me for the amount of tragedy being suffered, and it's so disappointing to hear. Like, I was hearing conversations, people on call-in shows talking about that Ukraine thing, talking about it like we've talked about, like we've heard people talk about other wars, and like it's some place that doesn't matter. And what I realize is people are really dumb in this country. A lot of them.
I don't know if dumb is the right word, just misinformed, uninformed.
Not well-traveled, not curious.
But here's the thing. I wish we had talked about this on Off the Hook on the radio show, because people don't listen to foreign media enough. And I know Alex made reference to that. And we're going to give out some foreign media sources that we like, and hopefully people can share with us as well. But to get back to Ukraine, we've been there twice. The first time we went there was when their former leader, Tymoshenko, was still in prison. That's the woman with the braids that you might remember from the past. And we were walking around right by the square, the Victory Square.
Yeah, they were celebrating the 20th anniversary of independence.
We just happened to be there on that day, but she was still locked up in prison. And there were competing demonstrators outside, and they both were using megaphones at the same time, drowning each other out. That's pretty much summed up the spirit in that part of the city at that time. And we went to the I want to say pro-Ukrainian side, even though the other side will say they were pro-Ukrainian, but this was the more pro-Western and what the election actually, you know, reflected. They wanted a leader that was not a pro-Russian leader, as the current guy had been. And how he got in was sneaky, and there's all kinds of ways we can talk about that. But basically, the difference between those two camps that are literally right next to each other was staggering. We went into the first one, and it was a lot like going to like a BAI meeting where there are, you know, elderly people passing out leaflets, and everybody's friendly, and they have cupcakes and things like that. And then we wanted to see what the other people were like. We went in there. And I think you noticed that they were basically positioning flags to make it seem like there were a lot of people there when there really weren't. All we wanted was a leaflet. And what we got instead were hostile stares. We had the people following us afterwards. It was scary. It was really – and we weren't saying anything. We weren't judging. We weren't taking sides. We just were there to get information. But the level of suspicion and hostility that we saw there really, really – it was something that I can never forget. And that told me something about where the different sides were coming from. And, you know, they basically paint an image of themselves that did not go over too well. Now, this was before the bloodshed in that part of Kiev, when the people won. They won the power back. And they drove their leader, he fled to Russia. But then after that was the seizure of Crimea and the breakaway republics. We went to Ukraine a second time when we were leaving Moldova. It was my bright idea to basically look at the train route and say, you know, it would be quicker if instead of going back through Romania, we went up to Kiev. I called it Kiev at the time, as many did. And then make a left turn and go back into Poland that way. What I didn't know was when we got to Kyiv, it was impossible to get a train that went to Poland. Very much like what's going on right now, but nowhere near as bad. There was a war going on. There actually was fighting between the Ukrainians and the people breaking away, supported by Russia. We didn't think that would affect us so much. But then, you know, we saw these public service announcements on screens, basically kids saying goodbye to their dads going off to serve. And, you know, at the time, to me, it just seemed like, join the army, see the world. Didn't even hit me at the time. It did hit me, but it didn't hit me right away that these are people going off to fight right now in their country, defending their country. And it was pretty sobering to see that. We saw a bunch of soldiers getting on trains and realizing what they were facing. So basically, for us to get out of the country, we went from Kyiv to Lviv, the very same cities that are in the news right now, because we saw, hey, this city's right next to Poland, so if we take a domestic train that just goes there, I'm sure we can get a local train that will just go over the border, and then we're in Poland, we can get back to Berlin, which is where our ultimate destination was. And there was a bit of back and forth with train agents, but in the end, we won out. We actually had to argue with them about various things, but I had a train book, and I was able to say, no, this train really does exist, and I want to be on it. And it worked then. It would not work now. It's just, it's so weird to see all that playing out with such desperation and sadness right now. And I do look forward to seeing that part of the world when this is over, and I'm convinced that it will be a happy place, because I do believe they are going to win. I do believe people power will show its strength, and it'll be inspiration for so many throughout the world. And that's my hope. That's my hope. I don't know how naive that is. Oh, yeah, we should take phone calls. I'm sorry about that. Our phone number, 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK. If you're out there and you want to say something to us, or you have information that you would like to share, please give people who might be calling from far away a chance. If you're a regular caller, just hold off for a little bit. Let's see if anyone else is out there right now. Our country code is 1, phone number 802-321-4225. Any thoughts from Skypeland?
Yeah,
there's a lot.
Sure.
Go ahead, Alex. Sorry.
Okay, sure. I was about to say, go ahead, Rob. I'll just say, and I don't want to dwell too much on this, though, but it has been something that we've been talking about for the last couple of years, so I figure it's worth mentioning. Things have been very, very busy for me over the last 2 weeks, I guess. And, you know, my days have been about 12 hours long every day. Plus, I've been doing a lot of exercise, cycling into the office and going to the gym and working 12 hours and cycling home. By the time I got home, I was feeling like utter crap where I could just, and then you combine that with the news of everything that's going on, and I could barely stay awake, come 10 o'clock at night. And then this past weekend, I started feeling worse and worse. My in-laws were going to come over, so my wife and I said, you know what, let's take a COVID test just to be sure. My wife had taken one earlier in the week, and she was fine, so I presumed that we would be fine. And lo and behold, it wasn't overworking myself and over-exercising myself. I had COVID the whole goddamn week.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. So I had COVID. It didn't knock me on my ass by any means. I mean, I still put in probably probably about a 60-hour week last week with COVID, thanks to the vaccine. I think if I didn't have three shots of the vaccine, I think it would have been an entirely different story. But I'm still feeling some of the after effects of it. I'm still a little bit tired. It's still hard for me to stay up a little bit later, and I still have a cough. And the cough is not a dry cough. There's stuff there when I cough. And that doesn't seem to be going away. But today was the first day that I tested negative for COVID. This morning I took a test and I no longer have the antigen, so I'm on the mend. And but it was an interesting thing. I mean, I had COVID last week.
It's first I'm hearing about this, and that's terrible and good at the same time. Good that you got past it and that it didn't affect you so much, but terrible that you had to go through it in the first place. But yeah, it's because of the vaccine. We're all happy that things are taking a step towards normalcy, but the only reason that's even something under consideration, it's not because of people getting angry. That doesn't make a virus go away. It's because of the vaccine. It's because of the social distancing and the masks and things like that. That had an effect. That made a difference. I saw from the governor that 95% of people in New York State have gotten at least one shot, and that's incredible. I believe that's adults. So that makes a difference. When you have numbers like that, yeah, it's possible to do more than if you refuse to believe that it even exists. So it's possible, Alex, that you might have had it twice, because when this whole thing started, remember you were holed up in Pennsylvania, you didn't know what you had, and you never got tested then. So it's possible you might be in the double COVID club.
I think I am, quite frankly, because that happened, and it was almost 2 years ago to the day, which is what's really crazy. I think I might have missed that anniversary by perhaps a week, maybe 10 days, but 2 years ago when this whole thing kicked off, that was when I had a fever that wouldn't leave me for about 10 days. I was really, really tired, digestive issues, I mean, all the signs of COVID. But back then, the advice was to stay away from the hospitals unless you had respiratory issues, not even to wear masks, if you recall that, because those were being saved for the first responders and healthcare workers, that sort of thing. So I probably should have taken some kind of antigen or antibody test, rather, before I got the vaccine. I didn't do it, though. I just jumped at the chance to get the vaccine. But speaking of this, and to bring it back to Russia, in a sense, and talking about conspiracy theories and this nonsense and people like these goddamn truckers driving around the Beltway in D.C. complaining about COVID regulations. Meanwhile, there's literal massacres of children and families happening across the world. But I've been hanging out, as we talked about, for the last couple of weeks in some of the Telegram groups for these Freedom Convoy people. And I will tell you some of the stuff that I have seen them say about the war in Ukraine is absolutely gone.
You're cutting off right at the most interesting parts.
Slow down, what?
So just repeat that last part. Some of the things, what?
Several things that the truckers, these Freedom Convoy truckers, have said in one of their Telegram groups about the Ukraine war is absolutely galling. And I'm going to read this to you at the moment. So one of them, and this is from, I don't know, maybe about a week ago.
Yeah, you're cutting out, Alex. You're cutting out.
Yeah.
We're not hearing you at all.
I don't think that's me. Is somebody not on mute, perhaps?
No. Go ahead. We heard you say that, so go ahead.
Okay, so here. Somebody was posting something about the war, and then it said, I'm finished with the New World Order being promoted by blah, 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 by this channel. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. The New World Order is essentially Biden, the United States, all of this. And then somebody writes in response, go Putin. He is killing the globalists. Don't believe the mainstream media. Putin is saving hundreds of millions of lives.
Wow.
Earlier than that, somebody wrote, the Russians are standing up against the globalists behind NATO. Ukraine is just a proxy used by NATO and the globalists to go get Putin and take complete control of Russia. You know, that he didn't really want to do this, but he had to go in because he had to fight the globalists. This is just absolute insane. And now that we're off the air, I think we can say it is absolute fucking bullshit.
You can say that, yes, you can say that, but here's the thing, and now, Alex, I find this to be interesting, because what you just said is almost word for word what I hear from people on the far left. They say that somehow this has become a progressive talking point, that the U.S. forced all of this, and it's all part of U.S. imperialism, and basically, you know, I'm not for U.S. imperialism, and I recognize the harm that it's caused throughout history. But you gotta give credit to Putin for this one. You gotta see the evil for what it is, and you can't always be blaming the same bad guy. Realize there are many bad guys, and right now he is bad guy number one. And it's horribly naive to simply fall into that. But it's just weird the bedfellows that are coming out of this, you know, truckers and people on the far left saying the same thing, and look who's suffering. Yes, Rob, and then we'll go to the caller.
The most toxic thing about the current media and political and social environment is that it's become about picking a side and then going with whatever that side is perceived to be on. You know, instead of going to the trouble of looking into the Russia and Ukraine situation and learning what's going on, you just figure, oh, okay, my guy doesn't like them, so they're bad, or my guy likes them, so they're good. And, you know, yesterday's Trump fan is today's Putin fan, which is weird. It's weird as all hell.
It's really distressing. Let's go to the phone call that's on hold. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Hi, is that me?
Yes, it is.
Yes. Oh, good. Okay, finally. First question is, can't you get a WhatsApp account? I'm paying for this call. I know it's
fine, oh dear,
but it adds up, especially when I'm on hold for a long time.
Where are you calling from?
You consider your WhatsApp account?
Where are you calling from?
Funny enough, from New York City. If you had a local phone call,
we have a toll free number. I guess we should have given that out too. We have a toll free number that you can call. You want to write this down for future reference?
Yeah, I'm ready.
And someone tell me if I get it wrong. I think I have memorized. It's 1-888.
Nope.
Okay, then I give up. Go ahead, Rob. I tried.
It is 833-755-2600. And we have our friend Lucky to thank for this. It's 1-833-755-2600. It's a toll-free call in the United States.
Sorry, so it's 833 because I got 888 first. It's confusing. Mm-hmm. 833.
It's 755-2600.
Oh, very good.
I had all the rest of it. I just didn't get the area code right, but I had all the rest of it.
Yeah, no, that's fine. You know, it's just I started writing that.
Uh-huh.
Well, thanks for a wonderful program, and I suggest you should take the calls on the air at BAI because, you know, right now there are 42 people watching. I imagine in the tri-state area there are a few more listening. Not that many, but,
it's... There's a reason we don't do that, and you're right. Radio, you never know how many people are out there, and we do tend to get many more listening on the air than listen online. But the reason that we can't at the moment take calls is because we're subject to FCC regulations, and we don't have a delay system here. There's a delay system at the radio station, but we're not at the radio station, so if somebody says something unfortunate, we have to rely on somebody to be at the station monitoring it, and we don't know what's going on down there. So it's basically something that we can't take a chance on at this point. But we would love to be able to do that.
Can you reassume in-person broadcasts? Many other programs have.
Well, when they give the go-ahead at BAI, that's not the case yet. I mean,
They did. Even what's his name, Sargent at... was off the studio for 2 years. Just this past Monday, you know, did a night shift live, which was interesting.
Well, I think there's a couple of things going on. I think overnight periods, late night periods have less people in the station complex. But when we're on 7 p.m., there's more people there, and I think what they're doing is they're limiting it to a certain number of people.
Also, our show has several people, so that would involve us being in the room, the studio, which itself has limited space, with all the staff at the station plus engineering. We don't want to put anybody at risk and necessarily dive right in before we have any more information. So just for our own group, being a larger show, it's a little bit more complicated than one person doing it overnight.
We've got the entourage in. We've got the limo driver. We got the guy who brings us snacks.
And the popcorn machine.
Absolutely. Well, that doesn't count as a person. But it's just there's so much that is involved. But, you know, as soon as we get the go-ahead, we're in for sure.
Okay. Now, for the meat and bone of this call... As I said, you did an amazing program tonight, and congratulations.
Thank you.
I wanna hook up to straight to what Emmanuel said about the bully. You know, it's exactly what the situation is. But once you confront the bully, you have to bloody his nose because otherwise he's not gonna back down, and he's gonna get even more perturbed. You know, this is not just any bully. This is a Hitler situation. I think we all understand that, except for, you know, the lunatics on both ends of the political spectrum on the fringes. But, you know, it's a clear reference to what happened in 1938-39. First, it started in Austria, then it was Czechoslovakia, and then finally it was Poland, and then it was a world war. So I understand that this country doesn't want to get into it. But it's not a matter of not confronting him. We declared an economic war on him, and it's quite clear. Now, you know, when you say, we don't want the American pilots flying MiG-29 on Ukrainian airspace because there are air defenses on the ground and it could be dangerous, what are we paying them for? What are we spending, you know, $750 billion a year? If you have the damn hardware... Use it, not the American pilots. The American pilots would deliver it to Ukraine, and then the Ukrainians would do their thing. Now, if we look at all, dotting all the T's, crossing all the T's, this guy, meanwhile, is killing people every minute, you know. Mm-hmm. And thank God his generals are also getting a little bit of their own medicine, and that's a good thing because he may get, you know, some thinking. But, you know, we're in a confrontation with the bully, and the bully has to be bloody because otherwise it's just going to go on. Now, the U.S. government is normalizing this thing, and you can see it in the markets today. The markets went berserk. They went up today, and the oil, more worryingly, went down. And as we all know, American congressmen and senators are all investors in the market. So while they're talking tough on one hand, on the other hand, they're saying, oh, gee, let's not do something that would really upset my financial situation, which happens to be pretty good. Many are millionaires. There are a couple of billionaires in there, too, as we all know. I don't need to harp on that. But, you know, as for power to the people, it is happening. And I knew of this a week ago when I heard on the BBC. It was over a week ago. You might have heard this report. It was late at night on NPR, the NPR station, which I don't need to mention. In New York City carries BBC all night. You all know that. So around 4:30, it came a conversation with a cyber warrior from an undisclosed location who said many of the things that you have said tonight. I knew them a week ago, but you also knew them a week ago. But finally, the people, because of the scheduling, and it is true that many things happen either on a Thursday, and the program is on a Wednesday, and or when you're off the air. Now, I don't think that Putin waited for you to be off the air to invade Ukraine, but many times I wanted to call, and I can't because, you know, this is the first time I get on and I'm depleting my Skype account, but never mind, it's worth it. So, you know, many things are announced on a Thursday when it, and, you know, so that they have a week lead to prepare the defenses on of what you and other people are going to say on the program. And I noticed that before. So this undisclosed location, cyber warrior, said exactly what you say, that the Russians have tried many things. We have neutralized them. We are getting support from all over the world. And their war is not working. We are winning this war. And he said then, a week ago, in 1 week, there will be no internet in Russia. That's what he said. And he wasn't bragging. It was very calm and collected. He wasn't being arrogant. He just stated the facts. And funny enough, now it seems that Russia is pulling out of the internet. So he was prophetic. He said in 1 week, there will be no internet in Russia for whatever reason. Now, for some of the things that you have said concerning the domain names and the alternate net, it's also very interesting because on one hand, they can build their own sites and put in their own content, which I forget who it was. It didn't mention the countries by name, but we know China does that, and many other countries that try to censor free expression. But, you know, I wonder, once they pull out and they have all this alternative structure, if they ever try to get back in, what's going to happen? You know, it's a pretty radical step if they do it for their own defense, as they see it. I don't know if it's a step that can be easily undone. So, you know, a lot of food for thought about what's going on. Now, the last thing I want to say concerns our State Department, because, you know, whenever something comes out of Russia in terms of cyber attacks, their government always denies any connections to this and no, they're not connected. And we know not only they are connected, but they are guided by their own government. So if something, you know, I have to disagree with Alex and I disagree with him on many aspects, which I don't want to go into tonight. I just want to focus on this. Now, it's not a matter of not being too rash. Power to the people. The people are doing this. Let our State Department earn its taxpayers' money and put out their denials that they have nothing to do with this. And I want to see if they want to go after people in this country for doing what's right and is not state-inspired and is not state-sponsored and is just the people expressing themselves against the war. And I'm going to just hang up and listen online, and thank you so much.
Thank you for that call. It's good hearing from you.
I think that's a strong sentiment, and it's true that the deniability aspect with electronic warfare or whatever we're calling it is something that states really depend on, and that ability to distance and remove yourself from it and, you know, declare it as some rogue digital mercenary that you don't have anything to do with and all that, even if it was maybe bought and paid for or not, or maybe some of your, you know, private associates handled it and you're mildly aware of it. There's all kinds of different ways stuff like this can occur, as well as the ways we're talking about with, you know, wide public activation, doing, you know, really literally everything people can think of that is in most cases reversible, stuff that is simply a statement, simply pushing and resisting the kinds of fear and control that we're led to believe is what we should be obeying. The comment about politicians, and I think that's valid in many ways in this country.
Hang on, just to let people know what's going on here. The air raid sirens in Kyiv just started going off. We have a camera watching. This is going to go 6 times. We're not going to turn it down because we want to share the experience as much as we can.
I think there is a delay in a lot of the reporting. There's a lot of people that have better imaginations, I think, and better understanding. They're good at playing out, gaming out what kind of a scenario, a crisis like this, what kinds of ends and options there are. I think a lot of us saw a week ago, 2 weeks ago, anticipated a lot of what we're now announcing or hearing about or hearing rumors about that is only then a little bit later codified or turned into something. And it's going to take weeks and months for a lot of the things, the choices that private entities have decided, for those to really finally set in. You imagine retail places, okay, they're going to shut down temporarily. Well, that means they're going to pay rent, but they're not going to be active. So you can see there's different levels and layers to it. To hold the U.S. accountable and to see the kind of political cravenness, mm-hmm. I think the best antidote to that is pressure from other NATO actors. In other words, yes, those countries have a say, and if they see America diverging or treating this in something other than the terms that the rest of NATO has collectively, or the UN, mm-hmm. Not National Security Council, but the UN, the wider General Assembly, right, has agreed is egregious, or that the Human Rights Court in The Hague has come to a conclusion, International Criminal Court, those kinds of entities need support. And yes, the U.S. may appear as though they're overly cautious or they're on a delay, but, you know, they can be influenced and bolstered by other nations, but we can't expect them to want to go running in and changing the course of this as though it is their immediate fight. We have been reminded over and over again that this is about Ukrainian sovereignty, right, and this is the world community, the members, those General Assembly nations and NATO leadership pointing out what is egregious violations, and the world collectively holding the bad actor to account. So those are the things, but there's so much there in that call. I really appreciate the sentiment.
I'm very thankful he called, and there are so many people out there who do have so much to share, and you're encouraged to do so. 802-321-4225. And I guess that's the first time we've heard the sirens over the air, but boy, it hits you every time. We have this up quite a bit, actually, just to be reminded that people are going through hell. It's 3:30 in the morning in Kyiv right now. Can you imagine trying to get through a night and then this happens, and now we have to listen for sounds of rockets hitting or gunfire or all kinds of hell like that, and Kyiv isn't even in the front lines yet. It's expected to be, but right now it's not, and throughout the rest of the country all kinds of hell is being unleashed. Alex, I know you had something. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, while you were talking, Kyle, and that was going off, it was really, really disquieting. let me tell you, I found it very difficult to focus on anything that you were saying when there's an air raid siren going off. And you know that it's real.
Yeah. Real and live. This is happening right now over there.
And live. That's I didn't expect that, and it was really – it was very, very jarring to me. But before we take the next caller, I want to say I very much appreciate our previous caller calling. And I think that, you know, this is what WBAI in particular was designed for. It was designed for people to disagree with each other respectfully, mm-hmm. to talk about the issues, and to move on. And sometimes we change each other's mind. I loved hearing that this caller usually disagrees with me and then agreed with me today. This is a thinking person. We have rational people listening to us discussing the issues. I mean, this is what it's supposed to be happening.
Well, don't sound so surprised. We have lots of rational people.
We also have a call.
Who's probably a rational person.
Let's see.
All right, let's see who's on the line. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Good evening, Overtime.
It's Robson from Bulgaria.
Yeah, from the Kiev time zone.
You're in the same time zone as Kiev right now, so it's about 3:30 in the morning. You probably didn't hear the air raid siren where you are, but we heard it here.
Well, I heard it over the headphones. I was listening to Overtime on. So, yeah, not pleasant.
No, it never is. It never is. And, you know, we in the States, it's probably something the rest of the world would find bizarre. At least here on Long Island, we have a siren that goes off every day at noon, just to tell you that it's noon. I can imagine people coming to this country, escaping the hell that's going on over there, and hearing that at noon and completely flipping out because what does this mean? And it's just to say, hey, it's noontime, lunchtime, you know?
So how long does the siren go on telling you it's noon?
Until it's 1 o'clock. No, kidding. It only blows once. But you know, we also have a system where it goes once if a volunteer ambulance is needed. I don't know what happens if an ambulance is needed at noon. I don't think that's ever happened. And if it's a fire, 3 times. That's it. That's our system.
That sounds bearable. I had some comments about what you mentioned on the radio show.
Go ahead.
The site intervalsignals.net doesn't seem to be working at present.
I was on it before. Are you sure you're spelling it right?
Well, I'm getting to some weird setups on their end that make it inaccessible. Intervalsignals.net without and with a dash.
Yeah, no dash.
Well, without the dash, anyhow, it doesn't seem to be working.
I just went to it now. I'll spell it out for you just to make sure you've got it right. intervalsignals.net.
Yeah, I tried that. It didn't seem to be working all the way here.
That's weird. For some reason, it's not working from Bulgaria. I don't have an explanation for that, but maybe try a VPN or something if it continues to be a problem.
Gonna be next part of the what you talked about earlier is getting a shortwave receiver to catch the BBC broadcasts.
We're going back to a rather special time. Radio transmissions to foreign countries.
Yeah, I wish it wasn't the case, but oh well. If they're going to be doing shortwave radio, I may be able to get a receiver to enjoy them on.
I'm sure there are plenty still there, because that is how, when Bulgaria was behind the Iron Curtain, that's how you'd be able to listen to Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, and BBC, of course. That's how people did it.
Yep.
Oftentimes, it was illegal to do it.
Well, that was 30 years ago or so.
Yeah, not that long ago. So,
can
I ask you, since you're in a country that's relatively close to what's going on, have you noticed any change in day-to-day life where you are?
don't get out much, so no, I haven't. The numbers that are reported on the TV, there's tens of thousands of Ukrainian refugees in the country now. And I haven't seen any, but, well.
Uh-huh. It's interesting, you know, after our last conversation a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about the Black Sea, and I suggest people do this. Take a look at the Black Sea. It's fascinating, all the countries that surround it, you know, Bulgaria, Moldova. Wait, Bulgaria is one of them, right? Or is it Romania I'm thinking of?
Bulgaria, Romania, Moldova, the Ukraine.
Russia.
Russia. And I'm not.
Is it Turkey? Is Turkey one of them?
Turkey is one of them.
Yeah. It's just a lot of countries bordering on that one body of water.
Yep.
So be careful you don't sail out too far.
It's weird in itself. It's the part of its blackness is that it has the highest line of end of life. Basically, it's the least deep where any life form sent to appear in the Black Sea than compared to other seas around the world.
Okay, that's interesting. Do you know why that is?
Well, there's chemicals in the deeper part of it, which are very explosive, unfortunately. Not that there's been any confirmation of it by explosions, but yes, the research have shown that the toxic stuff that's deeper than the end-of-life line is could be very explosive.
Are these man-made chemicals or natural chemicals?
Well, as far as I know, they are reportedly natural appearing.
Well, that is interesting.
Well, I hope no one tries to nuke it because it's going to be very unpleasant.
I mean, do you think that we're on the precipice of some kind of nuclear conflict in that area?
Well, I hope not, because I mean, who's going to try and do something like that if you're talking about Russia or some Russians who might be. And I don't think they're.
Mm-hmm. Does anyone in Skype land have a question for Bobson? No? Okay. Well, Bobson, any final thoughts from you?
Well, I think I'll wait a bit for the final thoughts, a few decades maybe.
Oh, yes. I have an unfortunate way of phrasing that.
Okay. Have a great evening, everybody.
All right. Good hearing from you.
Keep in touch.
All right.
Doing my best.
Stay safe.
Bobson.
Oh, wait, now Alex has something to say. Go ahead, Alex.
Bobson, before you go, I just didn't think it was appropriate this week to discuss and compare groceries.
Oh, for God's sake, Alex, not again with the groceries.
I just wanted to let you know that, but I hope to resume our dialogue shortly.
Well, I don't mind at all.
Okay, very good.
All right, well, excellent. We'll look forward to that on a future date.
We all do.
All right, take care, Bobson, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Have a great night, everyone.
You too. Get some sleep. 3:30 in the morning. 3:44 in the morning, actually, over there in Bulgaria and in Kyiv in Ukraine. And, you know, I suggest this to people. Look at a map. Look at the region. See where Georgia is. You know, see where Moldova is. Learn about these places. They're fascinating. That's why Kyle and I went over there, because we were fascinated by the culture, by the people. And it's so unfortunate that it's you know, in this particular focal point right now. But that's just the nature of things. You going to pick it up, Kyle? Yeah, okay. So here we go, another phone call. And good evening. You're on Off Talk Overtime. Go ahead.
Oh, this is Phil from Missouri. How you guys doing?
Phil, you're going to have to speak louder than that, because we can barely hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that better?
It's a little bit better, but, you know, feel free to get angry and shout.
Well, how you guys doing?
Yeah, it's been a rough week. It's been a rough couple of weeks. But, you know, we're doing fine. You know, it's worry about people in other parts of the world that's got us up at nights.
Yeah, I heard a little bit where somebody was talking about cutting off the internet to Russia. I think that basically you need Putin to have some way to communicate with the outside world. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. You know, it's the talk I'm hearing is coming from Russia themselves, you know, that they want to just cut off the rest of the internet.
Yeah, more than the rest of the internet.
Well, that makes it even worse, don't it? I mean, it's, I don't know. Let's talk about something more lighthearted, like the trucker convoy.
Okay, yeah, if we can find humor in that, go ahead.
I sent an email to you guys with a couple of links for a couple of channels that live stream and stuff.
Uh-huh. I might have seen some of that. These were actual videos of them in D.C. and on the Beltway and stuff?
Yeah, if you can call it that. It's basically them just stuck in traffic.
I don't think they realized that D.C. already has traffic, and that they were they just basically were more traffic, and not many people noticed.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's like to my brother earlier, it's like, well, the Beltway is kind of built so you can't have a bunch of lines of cars like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
To try to... Well, anyway, last night they had a meeting. They live-streamed their meetings, too.
Right.
The guy comes on there, and he talks about... he talks about the meeting up with Cruz and... who was it, Jordan or Johnson? Somehow magically Facebook took down the live stream of that, and so did YouTube.
Okay.
The only newspaper I saw reporting on was like the Washington Post, and maybe The Hill or something like that.
I'm not sure why they take down the meeting unless they were asked to by the people who are giving the meeting. There's no real reason to take it down, as I can see. They're not really causing much of an effect anywhere.
Well, it kind of makes me wonder if they actually met them. You know what I mean?
If they actually what?
If they actually met with Ted Cruz and them.
Oh, I do know. I do know they were supposed to meet with Cruz and Johnson. I do know that.
Yeah, that was yesterday.
Yeah, I heard that being announced. And a couple of things that I heard today. They're basically hanging out in Hagerstown, which is Maryland.
Yep.
And they have that until the 24th, so that's the plan, is for them to be in that area.
It might not be that far off, because there's a race there this weekend, and they don't know if they got a place after tomorrow.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, I'll send you. I can email you the link where you can see these meetings. Well, anyway, last night they were going on about it, and. People are kind of getting mad and fighting on the CB over this stuff, because the convoy gets broken up by traffic, because it's D.C., it's four lanes.
Sounds like you're listening to Zello.
60 miles.
Sounds like
you're driving 60 miles down to the Beltway to do this.
Right.
People aren't getting reimbursed for food and hotel and gas and all that.
Reimbursed by who? Who's going to reimburse them?
Supposedly the organizers.
Really?
Organizers, one of them, one is Mike Liston or something like that. I can't remember. Well, anyway, he was he apparently pled guilty to fraud.
Okay.
Earlier this year, or something like that. Well, the reason that was weird is because last night They were talking to him, and they started talking weird, like, well, now's the time that people can start going home to get people to show up in the state capitals and stuff like that.
Yeah,
They canceled the convoy today because of rain.
Well, it was cold. Are you, by the way, listening to them on Zello? Because that's where I get a lot of information.
No, this is on YouTube.
Okay, but you said on the CB, so I'm not sure if you're actually listening to their two-way radio.
No.
Okay.
These trekkers, they played their CBs. Well, they actually live stream everything, so there's like 8-10 hour videos where they're actually going to the place and doing this stuff.
Interesting.
One is named Sanska. Well, I sent you the links. Just click on those links. They're there.
Uh-huh.
Anyway... The dude goes on about that, and then he, about how everybody needs to start talking back home, getting people to go to the state capitals to bring his stuff up and everything, to protest there. Well, after he says that, and everybody just kind of groans a little bit, he tells everybody he spent $50,000 to buy RFK Jr.'s book on Fauci.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's in those links. You just got to see to believe it. One guy, his name is Outlaw Ministries, Outlaw Reform, Outlaw Ministries.
Okay.
He calls his channel. He's got a 2-year-old kid he carries around with him, and it's in a minivan with his mom.
Uh-huh.
And he's always broke. He doesn't have enough money to go out there. It turns out these guys are quitting their jobs and selling off their 401k stock.
It's sad
to be able to do that.
It's, I mean, you know, I do hear some conversations, and they, you know, as I've said before, when we played the Canadian version of this, they seem like nice people. You know, they're getting along with each other. They're having a bit of a fun with the convoy, but then they're. The darker people, the more serious ones, who really see this as some kind of epic battle against I don't know what. One of the exchanges that I heard involved Washington, D.C., and how they were just going to stay on the Beltway, but they were not going to go into D.C. Why? Because Washington, D.C. is a foreign country. I don't know what they meant by that, but they all agree that Washington, D.C. was a foreign country, and January 6th is what proved that. And that's when they went off the rails and lost me completely.
Well, they also said there's different laws in D.C. for some reason.
Yeah.
They keep freaking out when they drive past the, you know, the exit that goes to Arlington and has the Pentagon written on it right before you hit the bridge?
Probably.
You go by the Washington Monument?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they freak out at that because they think that the Pentagon is listening to them on that rampway for some reason.
And it's so easy to get caught up in this stuff if you believe what you hear.
Yeah.
You don't question
Any
things.
Any car that merges into lane they're trying to convoy in is always Antifa or somebody.
I've heard that. I hear them live on the road, and they're identifying cars and assuming that they're all out to get them, and it's really kind of scary.
Well, also, they had a lady there who was one of the January 6th rioters, right? And she got released on bail.
Mm-hmm.
And she was there giving a speech to them and talking about something about 1871, that all the elections were fake after that. And the only thing I'm assuming is, like, where they changed the inauguration date from March to, like, January 20th or whatever. But it's interesting. This girl, XOT, she's live streaming it now. And when you click on the live link, you can go back, you can listen to the speech they're giving now about where they might lose their venue, and if they can't get a place in Virginia, they don't know what they're going to do.
Well, you know, my question is, what exactly do they want? All the mandates are disappearing because we're reaching points where we don't need them anymore. So what is it that they...
They say it's about the mandate, and then they say the media doesn't want anybody to know, and they're not covering because they don't want anybody to know. And then they say that the government is actually letting them have freedom of speech as some kind of trick.
Okay.
Because they're actually not letting them have their freedom of speech, but yet they're letting them have their freedom of speech. it's a lot of weird stuff.
It really is. It really is. They sound like nice people, but, boy, they have bought into some really interesting things. Rob, I know you have something to add. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's the trouble with a certain mindset that it is so easy to fall into when you end up in these sort of echo chambers where you're just getting a lot of bad info and it's designed to click with someone who's uncertain about things, and you get to a point where you're just taking in all this bad data and then acting on it, and then it gets to a point where, like, you could try and rationally explain something away to somebody, but then they're perception will just shift to make it something else, and it's like, oh well, that's not really what's making my life miserable. Oh well, it must be this other thing, and you're just going to get into cycles like that. And so many people, I'm sure, on this program and listening to this program, have had experiences with maybe a friend or a family member who they've tried to have a rational discussion about these things with, and the discussion just wasn't clicking. And it is because it is so easy, and like the environment of the media and just the way everything is set up now is designed to manipulate a vulnerable mind at its most vulnerable and go from there. And it's really, really hard to counteract that. It's scary. It's scary what people are doing.
I would also say that the ease of the democratization of the tools that are used to create media has made it incredibly affordable to produce content that is very rich, very engaging. It may have pictures, it may have deep explanations, and that medium itself lends to a sort of passive consumption. We've known about this, about television and all of that, for a very, very long time, and for all the reasons people would be skeptical of mainstream media or skeptical of a government-produced video, well, you should have the same energy when it comes to self-produced stuff that has no footnotes, that cites, you know, specious sources and makes really grandiose, unusual and bizarre claims. It's not expensive to create that, and yet it is incredibly powerful. It is just as powerful as the film and television formats and radio are in other realms.
I guess democratization is the right word, but it just feels wrong to call that democratization, because it leads to something bad. It leads to everybody spouting forth with nonsense and having every opinion. Every opinion weighed equally.
But you have to hear me when I say this. I'm talking about the tools themselves. I'm not talking about the publishers. I'm not talking about the curators, the people that are creating the content. I'm just saying that the tools are cheap enough that anybody can make stuff that is convincing, no matter how stupid or untrue those claims may be.
And that takes us back to the theme that we have been on for our entire existence, that computers, technology, they are tools. They are tools that can be used for good or for bad. And you can't judge them based on what the tools are. You can judge the actions of the people who use those tools. So, yeah, I think it matches that pretty well. Caller, any last words from you? We're going to try to open it up to some more people.
Yeah. Well, it was ZOT, not XOT, I'm sorry. But she's from Canada, right?
We don't know who the people are.
Vaccinated. She was not vaccinated or anything like that. She was able to get into the United States, which goes against what these guys are arguing, that there's a mandate for vaccines and all that.
You can do a virtual who of these people. You seem to know a lot of them, and you could probably write a book about this.
Yeah, I thought about trying to do an expose, giving it to the local paper, but this whole thing is like, they say they're friends with RFK Jr., and they bought $50,000 worth of his books. The truckers are going to doing curbside things at Chili to get food and stuff like that when they're complaining about mask mandates, right? They're always begging for money. That's why they keep these 10-hour videos up there, because they monetize it on YouTube to try to get money out of it.
Wow.
Yeah, that one guy, the outlaw guy, he was complaining that he didn't have enough money to have a hotel and get back home and all that, because he only had $1,000 to his name. and he was looking at hotels and said, well, I'll keep the baby in the back seat in the cold if I have to use a mask.
I know, I heard that. I heard that someplace where somebody said they'd rather keep their kid in a cold car than go into a hotel that requires a mask. A mask just to walk through the hallway, because you don't have to wear a mask inside the hotel room. But for God's sake, that's child abuse as far as I'm concerned.
They won't even go down to D.C. to visit any of his sites. They're not even visiting the town to go out to the bars or anything.
Yeah, it's a foreign country. They won't go to D.C.
Yeah, that's true. But they are actually live streaming inside our hotel rooms all day. Just a really crappy hotel room that they have to beg for money for, and they won't do Super Chat anymore. They want PayPal exclusively now. But they keep begging for money for gas and everything. They're starting to complain about how much gas is costing them to drive 60 miles just to go once or twice around the Beltway.
Yeah, it's rather unfortunate for them that this is when all the gas prices are going up.
Bad time to be doing that.
I think it's kind of a blessing, to be honest.
Well, for others it is, not for them.
That's discouragement enough.
Uh-huh. And it's got nothing to do with the virus.
And they like manufacture grievances, so they can come up with all kinds of reasons to blame it and rationalize why they're not out there.
Well,
that's perfect.
Have,
good for them.
Ukraine is like a liberal plot to keep the attention off of them.
Oh my God.
DOT was like, they apparently don't cater. They potluck everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the DOT chick went and got some food and. They made sure to make sure it was low formic acid, because that is genocide or something. It's weird stuff, but, you know, it's kind of entertaining, to be honest.
Again, write a book. You got a lot of material here. You really do. I'm sure there's a film option that will come out of this.
Maybe record some of the audio.
Definitely record some of the audio. Now get on Zello, and they have channels there, and they're talking all the time, so you can actually.
Well, you don't need it. Like I said, they're just live streaming everything they do anyway.
Well, then make sure you capture it, because it disappears as you noticed. It disappears, so capture it so you can go back.
Oh, okay.
It may turn into something really interesting. All right. Good hearing from you. Stay well, and we'll talk to you again.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Take care. And I think we have time for one more call, 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK, or the toll-free option, 833-755-2600. Skypeland?
Correct.
Go ahead. Anything from Skypeland?
Just one thing that's been coming to mind is we've been watching all this go down, and now we're seeing, for the first time in quite a while, the headlines are starting to involve the words Russia and nuclear at the same time. And I know for sort of the Gen Xers and the people who grew up before that, bits of this are starting to feel very familiar. And it's cast sort of a gloom over the thing that I saw someone online say to someone younger, oh, is this your first Cold War? And we're back into that stuff now. And you know, for someone who grew up being scared of certain things, and then later on went on to feel like, oh yeah, that was just kind of a boogeyman. Thank goodness it never happened. And now seeing, oh wait, the boogeyman might be real again. It's exhausting.
Yeah, you know, I just have a real problem with acting on what might happen. You know, being judged because of what you might have done, or not doing something because of what this person might do. I prefer to focus on what's actually going on now, and what is the right reaction to that, and what is the right consequence for what you actually did do. You know, it's right now I see so much suffering, horror, injustice, and we need to act on that in whatever way we can. But the worst thing to do is to turn away from it or say we can't do too much, or it might be seen as a bad thing. All right, we have that last call. Good evening, you're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello?
Yes, go ahead. You're on right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just wanted to give a suggestion for the show.
A what now? A suggestion. Go ahead.
Yeah, my suggestion, because I don't know how you guys actually stream on YouTube, because, in other words, even though you're streaming live, there's no like chat box. We can't do like live chats. In other words, we can't send messages on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
what I'm trying to say is
we call that a feature.
Instance, you know,
we call that a feature.
That man from Bulgaria calling or whatever. Maybe uh-huh. I had a you know, I would have liked to ask him a couple questions. Maybe like type the questions in that you can ask him. But you don't have live chat. I'm just trying to ask, why don't you guys have live chat on there?
Because personally, I feel live chat has taken over everything. It's a distraction, and it invites the worst from people. And also, there's no guarantee that Bobson is going to want to get on a live chat, you know, as well as talk to us on the phone.
Also, we don't get to hear your call, or like we don't get to hear you, and you don't get to participate in the same way, like in an audio format.
Yeah, I mean, you know. There's all kind. Go ahead, Rob. You were going to.
Yeah, caller. This is the live chat. This is what we're trying to invite. We would be doing it if we could do it on the radio. The reason we're doing overtime is because we couldn't take the phone calls, and that's what we're interested in. We're interested in having a two-way conversation with somebody who's listening to the program, who's interested in what we're saying.
But Rob, the caller wants to chat with the other listeners and leave us out of it.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're no longer part of it. You want to just basically spin off and talk behind our back.
Maybe ask him a question. Like you, there was a couple weeks ago. So, you had a guy from China calling you, and he was saying all these interesting things. And I would have loved to like type a question in that you can ask him while you had him on the phone.
Uh huh. I don't know if he had time to stay on a chat though, because he had to go to work right afterwards. I think he only had time for the phone call.
Yeah, we can't control necessarily the everybody's availability. But in the past, we've used @HackerRadioShow, the Twitter handle, to field sometimes. But we're not committed to making that a part of the show.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
And we've also had IRC in the past. There is an IRC channel, but that is also something that we don't necessarily monitor during the show, but other people like Bobson and community members are talking very frequently there.
Yeah, you see, we probably use this less than anybody else because we're on the air while it's there, so we're not actually familiar with what it looks like. But one thing I think does exist is after the show is there not a place for comments, and can people interact through the comments?
Yeah.
Well, how is that? What's wrong with that?
I hope they give, you know, with what's going on in Russia right now, mm-hmm. I just hope they give Putin some kind of way to get out of this gracefully.
Well, yeah.
I get the feeling he wants to get out of this, but it's got to be a way that where he can save face. I just hope they give him some type of way, some type of confession so he can get out of this and say, yeah, I achieved something.
Well, you know, there have been so many opportunities where I think that could have happened in the past. For instance, when the Soviet Union fell, I think that was a great opportunity for Russia to be more, brought into the Western sphere a bit. But I think more recently, and most people don't agree with me on this, but I think, you know, since Crimea has a history of being part of Russia in the past, and the only reason it's part of the Ukraine is because Khrushchev signed it over in the 50s for no particular reason, and also the breakaway republics, mostly Russian, don't want to be part of Ukraine. You know, if the deal was, okay, you keep that, but Ukraine becomes part of NATO, you never invade them, I think that might have worked. But that's not going to happen now.
Hmm.
I see everybody's shaking their head,
Ukraine should have kept their nuclear weapons in 1993 when they broke up.
Oof.
They should have kept those weapons.
I don't know about that. I don't know. And the thing is, they're being accused of that now by Russia and by conspiracy people of having nukes and all kinds of things, which is simply not true.
I don't think the answer is to give the guy a cookie. I really don't think so. And, you know, you look at the situation now, you have, like, nuclear facilities, you have a site of a former reactor accident in Chernobyl. I think they don't have generators now. They've lost power. The situation is a lot more serious, I think, than relitigating what was in whatever decade we want to get into.
But the caller's right. He does need a way to save face in order to get out of this gracefully. Otherwise, how does he get out of this? And, you know, the only solution I can think of is a coup. And, you know, a coup in Russia, it makes the rest of the world kind of nervous because then you have an unstable nuclear giant. So
because he's not going to stop. He's just going to keep doing this. I don't think he's ever going to stop.
Well, I take issue with people who compare him to Hitler. You know, basically taking over country after country. I don't think he has the strength for that. I don't think he has the popular will for that. If he can't even get Ukraine, he's not going to get anywhere else. And it's simply going to be taxing on the entire society, and I think that's where he'll be forced out domestically.
Yeah, he's burned every offer.
By the way, there's a report online right now that he's considering using chemical and biological weapons. U.S. intelligence is saying that. I don't know.
Yeah, and Assad in Syria has done the same thing, and he's good friends with Putin, so it's entirely possible. Entirely possible.
Anyway, I love your show. Have a great night.
All right, take care. Thanks for calling. Go ahead, Kyle.
Yeah, it is that moment when I think it is very important to look at the alternative.
Mm-hmm.
And are you agreeing to a future where we acquiesce to this, where we basically, let whomever go in, get the contracts to rebuild, and we just we continue to do business with everybody that approves of this around the world.
My point is, it never should have gotten to this stage in the first place. You know, if there had been some kind of rational back and forth well before this, we might have been able to avoid going down this road. It's a moot point now because here we are. I don't have any easy solutions. You guys over in Skypeland, any solutions to this whole world issue?
Oh yeah, but I've decided to instead of sharing it on the radio, mint it as an NFT. No, I really don't.
Alex, you look like you have something to contribute.
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I'm going to bring it all the way back to what we were talking about a long time ago. RussianEmbassy.net.
Yes, what about it?
So, RussianEmbassy.net, we were talking about, who's behind this, right? I think I have an idea.
Does it really matter who's behind it? The fact is, it's a resource, and it's a useful resource.
Well, it's interesting, though. It's interesting. And I was going to give a little teaser about this at the end of Off the Hook. So I might as well just do it at the tail end of overtime.
Okay.
Over here. So if you look at all the DNS data on RussianEmbassy.net, you see, the location looks like the United States because it's hosted behind Cloudflare.
Okay.
So those are the NS records. But there's mail server records that relate to emea.mxlogic.net. So that's usually the Middle East. And then there's a subdomain on top of that for the mail server records. So RussianEmbassy.net has a mail server record, isctravel.com.inbound.emea.mxlogic.net. So that's very odd. Then you take a look at the records for isctravel.com, and you have their MX records, discovery.isctravel.com. They're also behind Cloudflare. So it's very likely that these two sites are connected, right?
Okay.
So isctravel.com, I'll just go right back to it right now, is a travel agency that is a tour company in Russia.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So it's and remember, you have to have a visa, that includes an invitation to go into Russia.
So you're saying this could be a service that Russia offers to people wanting to travel to Russia, so they can go to the consulate or the embassy. Get the right paperwork. Well, then, if that's the case, I would suggest that we grab this data ASAP before it disappears, because it very well might.
Yeah, that's right. But what's interesting, too, is that this travel agency knows that it's important that the addresses of the embassies are located so that you can go and apply for a visa, and you couldn't otherwise find it. So they're the ones that created this resource.
Right, right. Interesting.
Yeah. It's bizarre.
So that data is something that is very valuable right now. And
it could be gone.
It could be gone. Yeah. So if you know how to grab it, please do. If anyone out there knows how to grab it, please do so. Otherwise, we might not know the telex numbers to use. It's a challenge. Can anybody use telex to send them a message?
But the Internet Archive probably will have some, you know, people like Jason Scott, right? Will probably have some.
You're right. You're right, actually. They, in fact, I happen to know for a fact that they do. So, yeah. So if you go back, I think, to March 2nd.
They might not index the entire site. They might not index, you know, more than 4 or 5 pages deep. So.
But they will index all of the countries, so you can click on a country on there. So, yeah, it will. Okay, I was being paranoid. It will be there. But this is invaluable information if you're looking to have a protest or send a petition or call or fax or, again, telex, whatever that is. And it's important to have that information out there. I guess that's it. We ran out of things to talk about.
I think we should take another call.
No, we're not going to take another call, Alex. We're tired. We're done. We're done.
I think some people.
Kyle's got the phone off the hook, in fact. So we.
No,
yeah,
I know what happens when the calls stop coming.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
You didn't have and to sever the cord. Why did you do that? Now we have. Okay, now we have to find a new handpiece, mouthpiece there. Any final words from you guys?
Keep in touch. Send us email, and I'm going to repeat what I asked for on the broadcast portion of our program, which is if you know of efforts that the hacker community are taking, can take, could potentially take to directly help those in Ukraine who are dealing with the invasion and all the associated chaos, get in touch with us, oth@2600.com, tweet at us, Hacker Radio Show, let us know, and we want to know what's out there. We want to know what's going on. We want to know what we can help with.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is going to involve technical solutions to websites being cut off. And this applies not only to people in Ukraine, but the resistance in Russia as well. People who need to stay in touch, people who need to organize with others. And we need to help that out as much as we possibly can. So any creative solutions from the hacker community definitely would be welcome, something that we will help with. Alex, did you have something?
I would just like to end with the note that, just like on our radio show, it's okay for people to disagree and be from different places, different mindsets and things. And, this is about what we've been talking about all night is a war that relates to one man, one person, not the Russian people. The Russian people, should remember that foreign policy is dictated by domestic politics. And we support them and their bravery to rise up and oppose this madman.
Gila, anything?
No. I mean, I absolutely agree with everything. It's turn your powerlessness into power. Take action. Do something.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah.
Do something.
Amen. Kyle?
Yeah, let's just, not lead with fear for another 40 years or whatever. It's not a future I want to live in.
Yeah, I don't think any of us do. All right, folks, thank you for listening. Our email address, oth@2600.com. Back again next week on BAI at 7 and on YouTube, channel 2600 at 8. Please stay awake, stay alert, be aware of injustice, and share your information. Talk to you later.